Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Jones pulls the trigger. Touchdown, Giants! Malik Nabers fouls it in the end zone.
Yeah, he's pretty good, although that 4th-and-4 drop was big because, you know, I'll save it because in my other things to mention, I wonder about what Dable's decision-making would have been had they gotten that first down on a potential field goal. We'll talk about that here in a moment. All right, so the list of things that I liked summarizing real quickly, the list is long, right? It starts with how nice was it that Brian Dable was incompetent enough to not have a contingency plan for a kicker who came in less than 100% and they had time to do something about it because he got injured in the Saturday walkthrough. Critical to the outcome of the game. Jaden Daniels, all over the list of things that I liked at the top, you know, after the decision by Dable, I gave him an A in the game. A lot more good than not. 7 for 7 on drives, even though they didn't end in touchdowns. It doesn't matter. When you don't punt in a game, you'll take that kind of production between the 20s every day of the week. They dominated time of possession. 425 yards of offense, 6.2 yards per play, rushing the ball for 215. Kingsbury has, I think, really called here in the first two games. I know there was some criticism last week, not as much from me, although the lack of it last week I didn't understand. Might just be him, but I think it's been really responsible. Lots of quick game early, not so much drop back unless it's play action or it needs to be. I love what they're doing, especially with the two backs who both made the list of things that I love from the game. Seibert, obviously, for his franchise record day. Noah Brown, really solid. Two big catches in particular in the second half. Had three overall. I thought Zach Ertz presented a big target. That one throw that in the first half, that second drive of the game, good job by Washington because Ertz comes up with the ball on a play that Pinnock's got a chance at for an interception. I think Jaden got hit just as he let the ball go. And Washington went quick at the line of scrimmage. Dable threw the red flag out there, if you notice that. I don't know if it was before the snap or after, but they were talking about that on the broadcast. I don't think it would have been overturned, though. It certainly didn't look like there was any chance of it being overturned into an interception. And again, I think the ball floated out there a little bit where Ertz and Pinnock both had a shot. I think we'll see on the All-22 that he got hit just as he threw it or just barely impacted. I thought defensively there wasn't much here, but I'll take Benjamin St. Juice's punch out and forced turnover, the first for the defense this year, and it was big. The Giants are up 12-9. They're once again on the move to start the second half, and if they score and they're up two scores, I mean, that could be it. That's a massive play. Good recovery, too, I think, by Chin. And I thought Luvu flashed a lot defensively. What I didn't like in the game was just the defense overall. I mean, it's just not good enough here in the first two games. Yesterday, the big culprit was not stopping the run, which allowed Daniel Jones easy play-action opportunities. But even when they didn't have the play-action, there just wasn't enough pressure. You could say last week they got good pressure. They just didn't get home on Mayfield. Yesterday, I didn't think they really sniffed him that much. And they had a very difficult receiver to cover. cover. There's no doubt about that. The Giants have changed completely with Malik Nabers at wide receiver. But Washington banged up in the secondary. Davis certainly didn't show well, especially in his matchups against Nabers. And I thought Noah Ai did a better job against Nabers, but still, there wasn't much you could do against him. Clearly on the list of things that I didn't like was red zone offense. I mean, it's hard to go 0 for 6. I mean, it is really hard to go 0 for 6. I mean, how many times do you have 6 field goals in a game? They had 7, but 6 of them were red zone field goals. My God. Clearly, the number one reason for the red zone failures were penalties. You know, on the first drive, they had a 4th-and-1, and Ben Sinnott, the rookie, he false started. 3rd drive, 1st-and-10 at the 14, Cosme false started. 5th drive, 2nd and goal at the 4, Allegretti false started. By the way, on that drive on 3rd-and-11, Cosme got called for a holding, but it was declined because it was a play that didn't lead to a first down. 6th drive of the game, we had 2 of them. We had a 1st-and-goal at the 6, Cosme false started. A 3rd-and-goal at the 10, Lucas false started. Can't have that. I did think there was an opportunity on the throw. I'm trying to see which drive it was. I did think that that Okereke did hit Jaden late on that 2nd-and-7 blitz that I don't think he read well. Ended up that was one of the sacks. I don't think he read that well. There was also a late throw into the end zone for, was it Noah Brown? I'm looking for my notes. It looked like if he had let it go a little bit earlier, maybe it's a touchdown. But overall, it was the penalties that really derailed their red zone offense. Penalties overall, all right, 10 for 69 yards, 2 of them on special teams by just added Nick Ballore, who had the hold on the kickoff return for a touchdown to open the game. And then on a kickoff, he got called for unnecessary roughness or unsportsmanlike conduct. I still don't know what that penalty was for, Denton, but it gave the Giants the ball on their first possession at the 47-yard line. So this dude went hold, took 7 off the board. Now, the hold was instrumental in the kickoff return, it looked like, to me on replay. And then had an unsportsmanlike conduct for 15 yards on the next special teams play he was involved in, unless he was out there for the field goal, made field goal. But 10 penalties for 69 yards, that's 17 penalties in 2 weeks for 120 yards of yardage, and a lot of them self kind of inflicted. I mean, you're at home. I know it was loud. I had several people tell me that it looked at one point like Jaden had to go silent count. I don't know if that's true or not. In one of the end zones, there was a lot of blue. You could see it on TV. It wasn't the worst I've seen. And I had people there who were there every single week who said, there was a lot more blue than they thought there would be, but it was nowhere near the takeover that we've seen before. But still, Giant fans got loud in a couple of those instances, and you just can't have that. It's early. We got new players. We got a new system. I'm not, you know, panicked over the red zone penalties after 2 weeks. I'm so much more thrilled that they're just moving the ball, you know, the way they've been doing it, you know, on a lot of their drives so far this year, all 7 of them yesterday. But they got to clean that up. There is no doubt they have to clean that up. Yeah, I think I got other things here. Oh, what I'm wondering is this. Dable makes this big mistake, right, of not having a contingency plan for a kicker. He has his punter try the first extra point, which he misses after their first touchdown. And then he doesn't give him another shot. Now, you could see their punter certainly had the leg. You know, if it got into like 4th-and-15, but they were in field goal range, are they going to go for a 4th-and-15? I don't know. Probably not. But this guy, Jamie Gillian, had some leg there. What I was wondering is on that 4th-and-4 that Nabers dropped, that's a 40-yard field goal. I mean, that's a chip shot in the NFL at this point. I mean, 50 is a chip shot. It's become a chip shot in the NFL. It's crazy the number of 50-plus-yard field goals that are being made in the first 2 weeks here. I wonder if that if it had come down to, like, 15 to 30 seconds left in the game, if he would have kicked it on 4th and 4 instead of going for it. I think he would have sent him out there and said, you know, if you miss it, more likely than not, we're going to overtime. We'll try to win it there. So I was surprised on that one. I thought there was, I thought 4th and 4, look, I don't know what the analytics say about 4th and 4 in that spot. Probably field goal, although maybe not. Probably very close on the decision. But if there had been less time, like under a minute to go, I wonder what he would have done. I think he would have sent that punter out there just to try one. Certainly at 30 seconds or less, I think that they would have tried one. I have little concern or, you know, upset over, you know, end of third quarter, tight game, division rival, and Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, super close friends, having played together for 2 years at LSU, are out there yucking it up. I can't work myself up into that right now. It's the same conversation we have about the trading of jerseys at the end of games after a player gets, you know, his ass kicked. And it's just today's generation of players. And so you may say that's different than the end of the game. If you want to, have at it. Would I rather he be completely focused rather than taking 15 seconds? Maybe, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But it's also because I'm predisposed to really liking this quarterback a lot. Just looking through my notes here. I'm sure I'll find something else here, but let's open it up now. Your turn. 301-230-0980. Denton will give me his thoughts and big takeaways from the game yesterday. But phone lines, they are open. What'd you like? What didn't you like? 301-230-0980. Ben Standing at 12. You'll hear some of what Dan Quinn said yesterday after the game as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There in the Oculus, and then you go through the play.
Daniels will throw it back to Austin Eckler. He's got a lot of room. He's got a block. Hit hard as he got around the 6-yard line by Phillips.
That was a really nice play. I mean, they showed kind of, you know, moving the pocket right, the motion receiver, who I think is Terry, may have been Terry, and then here comes Eckler back the other way. It's not technically a screen because they didn't block it up as a screen. He's just wide open. I mean, he had Bates out in front of him. And then he tries that thing where he tries to leap from the 7-yard line into the end zone, although he didn't go down. You know, he stayed on his feet. What were your 2 or 3 big takeaways from the game, Denton, before we get to calls?
So I had 3. 2 of them positive, 1 of them negative. The first of which was Austin Eckler. I thought he was really awesome, and I'm glad that it seemed like there was a conscious effort to get him more involved earlier. He never goes down on first contact. And even as you just mentioned, he jumped, collided with 2 Giants in midair. Both of them fall to the ground, and he lands on his feet like a gymnast, waiting for his score. It was really like his athleticism is really impressive. The second one is probably the bigger thing. You know, you and I talked a lot, obviously, this offseason about Jaden Daniels. And when you asked Jaden Daniels about what he was like in college, he says, go look at the Florida game. But you and I had always said, no, go look at the Missouri game. Him coming back from getting the wind knocked out of him is what happened in that Missouri game. And that's what made me fall in love with him as a prospect. So to see him get hurt a little bit, get shaken up, miss a play, come back in, and then immediately deliver a strike and a quick slant over the middle of the field, that was what I really loved the most. So knowing that he is going to consistently get better, you know, people were critical not throwing over the middle because he didn't do it in week one. Well, then in the second half, when he's letting it rip, he's throwing over the middle of the field. So watching him get better, realize where he needs to get better, and then do that in real time was really impressive. And then the one negative thing I had, I try not to play too much into social media with this sort of stuff, Kevin. However, the more that I watched Jeremy Chinn, the more I understand why Derek Forrest's father was upset on social media. That dude was missing tackles left and right.
Yeah,
it was really hit between him and Michael Davis. They must have missed 8 tackles that resulted in some sort of chunk play. And then one of them resulted in nearly a touchdown. So those guys have to get better when it comes to tackle. Like, they're veterans on this team. They were brought in to be veterans on the defense. Please tackle like it.
Let me just say this about Davis. I think it's really hard on that hitch when you're playing soft coverage against a guy like Neighbors to really call that a missed tackle. That's an exceptional player, wide receiver, who, you know, could you take a better angle? Could you make the tackle and shorten the yardage on that play? You could, but there are a lot of corners that aren't going to be able to wrap up Malik Neighbors after a quick 5-yard hitch and a turn back outside away from it. But they just couldn't cover him. I mean, they had the one super long third down play, and they run him on a little delayed route over the middle, and no one is there. And the problem with missed tackling is an epidemic across the league early in the season. You see that every year, and you've seen it in the first 2 weeks of the year already. But if you're struggling on the back end personnel wise, you've got to figure out how to scheme up more pass rush. And the problem with yesterday is it's hard to do that when you can't stop the run. And therefore, a lot of the passing is play action where you're trying to stop the run. Yesterday, stopping the run was a massive issue for sure. All right. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Michael in Silver Spring. Michael, what'd you like? What didn't you like? Any comments? Any follow-up? Go ahead.
Absolutely. Great game analysis as always, Kevin, and thanks for taking my call. I guess the first thing I want to get into, and you mentioned it pretty much at the top, I thought the offensive coordinating play calling was great. I love seeing the two running back sets. I know we've been talking about Eckler a lot, but one thing I don't think was mentioned was his pass protection towards the end of the game when we really needed these completions to keep going. I mean, go look in some of those that he did. It was phenomenal.
Noah Brown completion, the 34-yarder is against right. The blitz where he picks it up. He did a great job. You're right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The second thing I want to say is, I didn't see Jamin Davis on the field. I'd love to see
a snap count
inactive on that.
He was inactive.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Oh, do they know if it was an injury or if it was like a healthy scratch?
It looks like it was a healthy scratch. Interesting.
Wow, that'd be interesting to look at.
Yeah.
And then I think my last point, not really about this game, but just looking around the NFL, looking at Brock Bowers, he's a force, man. And, seeing him kind of lining up wherever they have him, like it's something to really watch. And if fans aren't watching him, they should be. He's a force for sure.
Really? I mean, incredible. I mean, that game was going on at the same time, but, some of the highlights of Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end playing in Vegas, were really, really impressive. Thanks, Michael, for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Keith in Clifton. Keith, go ahead.
All right. Let me make this quick. Three things that I like. Ben, you hit it right on the head, but we'll get to the dislikes in a quick second. Three things that I like were the running backs and that extra efforts. I mean, awesome. Extra efforts all the way, every time they carry the ball. Frankie Luva's hustle was awesome. And the third thing that I like was the fact that Dallas got their ass kicked real good yesterday. I really loved
they
that.
They did.
So those are the three things that I like. The dislikes were, and you said you didn't have a problem with him talking to Jaden, talking to
I can't work myself up into a lather over that. I'm just
no, you can't. It's not that, but it wasn't that. They're both on, not on offense and defense. They're both on offense. I didn't have a problem with that. But what you all didn't see at halftime, every commercial, Jaden Daniels was up in the Giants huddle. And I was like, why is he in the huddle with the Giants? You know, you need to be able to with your team. And then when he was finally like, there was a future. If he wasn't in their huddle, he was talking to a giant player close to their huddle. And then when he wasn't doing that, and I'm not exactly, everybody was at the game saw this. When he wasn't in their huddle, he was like 3 feet away from our huddle, not talking to the guys in the huddle, not bringing them together, and just looking at our sideline or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing? Get your team together, and maybe this takes a learning process. But, dude, you've been a quarterback for longer than a year, than a rookie season. You should know this already. Get your team together and get some extra talking to them and pump them up and motivate them or something. That I did not like at all. And then I definitely did not like the fact that the offense, I mean, we got this great offensive coordinator, but I was not liking the play calling. I don't mind short and quick plays, but they don't have to be behind the line of scrimmage where five times we're taking losses. And it's like we're not making any – I'm like, scratch that play, design something else. I don't care what you do, but that's
some of
not
that stuff
working.
Is what you call RPO. I mean, some of that is just RPO and maybe the right decision, wrong decision. I'm going to go back to something that you – I mean, the bigger thing that you just brought up, and you would have only noticed that if you had been at the game, and I was not at the game. I watched the game on TV. So there has been a lot of discussion from Cliff Kingsbury in his various press conferences going back to the spring. Jaden loves to talk some trash. So is that what was going on? I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that either, but whatever it takes to get him fired up, it seems to be working. But yeah, I'm interested in that actually. I didn't know that. It's not something that we saw on television. Thanks for the call, Keith. Let's go to Sage in Ashburn. Sage, go ahead.
Hey, this is Sage. I lived in New York, and then I moved to Ashburn. And not to be closer to the Commander's Park, but it just so happens that I am. The things that I liked are pretty obvious in respect to the offense. I want to point out two things that I did not like. Luke McCaffrey, I don't know, is he playing because his last name is famous? I don't see him doing anything in the first two games. I don't think Jaden's ever looked at him for a pass. So I want your thoughts on that. Is it his route running? What is it? Why is he playing? Is he ineffective? Is he actually good and Jaden's not targeting him? What's the issue? And I have a big, big issue, guys, with Allen and Payne. Just because they're, you know, guys on this team are candidates for this, like that Peyton Manning, or not Peyton Manning, that Peyton, but, you know, just being good guys doesn't mean they should get playing time. These guys are, I think they've sucked for 3 years and they need to get off the team at some point. Thanks.
Yeah, well, they certainly didn't suck in 2022. I mean, they were both very, very good players in 2022. So, good point on McCaffrey. He was out there a bunch. There's no doubt. He was not targeted once. I just looked it up. Not targeted once in the game. Targeted a couple of times last week, I think, in the game, and had perhaps the second or the third most snaps among receivers. I don't know. I mean, he was obviously targeted on the throwback play that was set up to be the trick play last week that probably would have scored. But, yeah, no doubt, yesterday, out there a bunch, not targeted once. Now, with respect to Allen and Payne, okay, I think some are actually getting way carried away with this. I'm not going to go – I said in the open, I'm not going nuts over any sort of win rates or PFF numbers this week after a second straight dismal defensive performance. But I think that the actual advanced numbers will show a little bit different than what most of you think on Payne in particular. He forced Jones to move multiple times out of the pocket, sometimes to the detriment of what was behind him. I think the DNs right now are a bit of a problem. I think Cleveland Farrell, did Farrell have, They did not have a sack yesterday, correct?
No, Farrell did have a sack. He had the only sack.
Farrell had the one sack. But I don't see anybody winning consistently off the edge. Now, we kind of knew that that might be part of the issue here. But then you're going to have to scheme it up a little bit. And it's hard to scheme it up if you're not stopping the run. You know, they were off balance yesterday, even more so than they were at times against Tampa. Remember last week I focused on the fact that there was one good thing that came out of the defensive performance, and there wasn't much because they got scored on in 7 of 8 drives. But their first down defense last week was exceptional. You know, they had 9 plays of negative yardage or 0 yards, and that should have set them up for success. I mean, the down and distance that Tampa faced on 2nd and 3rd down should have been to the defense's advantage. Yesterday, they were off balance early and often with Singletary ripping off runs, with play-action throws that are getting completed. And even when they had them in some advantageous situations, they couldn't cover Neighbors. Just couldn't cover them. Let's go to Bones. Bones, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, shout out to my main man, Denton Day. You know what I like about the team, man? You know, the game yesterday, you know, I was there, right? I like the fact, man, that I see the growth coming in, man, and the maturity, the maturation of Jaden Daniels and the rest of the players, right? Okay, and what I didn't like is the fact that Jamin Davis didn't get an opportunity to play yesterday, right? And that could be constitute to some of the issues, right, on the pass pressure, you know what I mean? But anyway, man, that was our final preseason game yesterday, man. And I'm looking forward to the games that's getting ready to come up, man, because this team is growing, man. And I see a big difference, and I see what you see in this quarterback too, man, you know. So, man, I'm going to just take it one day at a time, man, and take this win. And, man, thank y'all for taking my call, man. Love you guys. Peace.
All right. Thanks, Bones. Appreciate it, man. I don't know the reason for Jamin Davis. We'll ask Ben about Jamin Davis at noon. There's no doubt that this week was more problematic with respect to pass rush pressure. Last week, they were close a bunch. This week, again, part of that, I think a lot of it is when you're not stopping the run and you're just a bit off balance and you don't know what's coming next, that's a problem. At the same time, it's like, you know, you realized after they went for 2 on their 2nd touchdown that they did not have a kicker. Now, the benefit to that for a drive is that you've got 4 downs. You know, you've got the Giants knew they had 4 downs to play with, you know, once they got, you know, across midfield anyway, or towards midfield. And so that's an advantage for them. But, you know, to let them at the end of the first half, what was the drive at the end of the first? 7 plays. 10 plays, 69 yards in 1:42. With 2 timeouts left, and you know that field goal's not an option, you can't let that happen. And the 3rd and 1 with 8 seconds to go, the touchdown pass, I mean, you need more pressure on a play like that. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
As Ken Beatrice would say, more games are lost than won, and I think that could happen here. You're always right about your best line. It's a week-to-week league. I think this is a 7-10 team was my preseason prediction, and nothing is kind of taking me away from that. I think the defense is worse than we all expected. The positives, I agree. Jaden Daniels did look better. And there is a part of him, and this is going to be the pro-con, he is so smooth out there, and I love that about him. He looks very effortless. Like, to compare it to our tennis guy, he's got some Federer in him. He's just really a pleasure to watch. The con of that is there is a California nonchalance about him that is just a little off-putting, especially for a rookie. You had a caller last week saying that he was arrogant because his helmet wasn't put on tight. I didn't fully agree, but hearing the thing about him talking to the Giants, the bet with Malik Nabers, the constant, like, there's just a little bit of, like, too much mouth guard chewing a la Steph Curry.
The bet with Nabers is old news at this point.
I know, but I'm just saying there's a lot of
chewing the mouth guard is what he's done his whole career. He did that all, you know, at LSU.
I know. I'm with you. But Steph I'm just Curry saying his whole vibe is very like, I got this. I've arrived. And that's good in one hand when you deliver, but when you don't, it's almost like, hey, man, are you taking this as seriously as you realize? You are getting crushed on some of these plays. We need you to, like, kind of pull it together. Again, I think he's great. Overall, 2 weeks in, way more promise than concern. But a slight concern about just his vibe is a little too, I got this, I'm cool, okay.
Look, nobody played as effortlessly, but I know what you're saying with respect to casual nonchalance. Like, it's one of the things that always drove me nuts about Marcus Mariota, you know, his teammate. I always felt like he's better than he actually looks, but he plays so casually, and the ball's much more important. You know who plays that way occasionally? Jalen Hurts plays that way occasionally. With that said, I think he has an edge to him in addition to sort of the vibe of, you know, California cool, a competitive edge that I really like, and I think it offsets what you're talking about. But what I was going to say is Joe Montana looked like he wasn't trying. I mean, go back and watch Montana in his prime. It really looks like I used to say about Sam Perkins, the old North Carolina player in the NBA, became a great three-point shooter, Lakers. I mean, he looked like he was half asleep and or baked on the floor, which it wasn't. He just was half asleep. But Jaden, I don't think, has that aspect to him. I do understand, sometimes a little bit careless maybe, but I'm not concerned about it yet. I think he's got a competitive edge that offsets that. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
All right, real quick. This is why we call you Coach Sheehan on Team 980, because
no,
you
Doc
on Friday predicted that Jaden Daniels...
And players who used to play basketball for me call me Coach Sheehan, but I'm not an actual coach.
But you did predict on Friday that Jaden Daniels would lead us on a game-winning drive and a game-winning field goal. So there was that. That's why I was making that prediction for you. So you were spot on about that. But anyway... What I liked
that was lucky. I think the better thing that I predicted was that his rush count would be less, far less than it was last week, in part because he wouldn't keep it as much and there wouldn't be as much zone read with options for him against a base 3-4, which turned out to be true, I think.
Right. Well, what I liked and didn't like is that, yeah. Well, Jaden Daniels, I mean, for the second straight week, I mean, yes, last week we got in position to get some points. We missed field goals. But Jaden Daniels, again, gets us in position to score points. We got to get in the end zone. Kevin, I was there yesterday. How many times in my section we were going berserk every time there was a false start penalty? That's one thing I did not like. We have got to fix that. Yes, we got 21 points. All of them were off field goals. But what I also liked was Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. The running game worked again yesterday, and the passing game too. When they get yards after the catch, whether it's running or catching, look out. I mean, Ekeler, this is why we got him during the offseason. What I did like, oh my God, that third down defense. I mean, how many times, this is just like last week against Tampa Bay, we had them in a third down situation and we just could not get off the field. I mean, luckily the Giants did drop a couple passes down by the end zone, or also those two-point conversions as well, but Graham Gano getting injured was a problem. The side note, Kevin, I'm curious to know what you think about this. It was the very first possession we had. Jaden Daniels takes a slide out of bounds. He doesn't slide. He runs out of bounds. How is that not roughing the passer out of bounds or late out of bounds?
That should have been flagged on Okereke,
yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, they redeemed it later, but still.
So, yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got to say. Take care, Kevin.
Yeah. I'm looking at there was one play that I think I mentioned briefly, but somebody texted me who would be in the know. It's the 3rd and 6 in the red zone before the longer field goal. So it's the second drive of the game. It turned out to be the only field goal that was a long kick. It was a 45-yarder. And no, my fault. That's not what it is. Where is it here? I'll figure it out. I'm lost here. Where am I? I think he missed Noah Brown on a play in which he got sacked on. Early second quarter, they're down 6-3. Yes, this is the play. I'm sorry. I think he's got time to unload it and unload it quickly to Noah Brown, and I bet the All-22 shows that that's where he should have looked. Now, I don't know what the progression is. Thibodeau does get through eventually. And they get him for, you know, a sack that was like a 3-yard sack, and they kicked the 45-yard field goal. But I think Noah Brown on a stop and go totally burns the corner. And if the ball's out early, it's a touchdown. These are some of the things that I think, you know, he isn't there are some things he's missing and he's not seeing. We saw that last week, and I think we saw a couple of them this week. And that may be example number one. The 3rd and 6 before the 45-yard field goal in which he got sacked, and then they kicked the second field goal. I think that, I don't know how he read it, but Noah Brown puts a stop-and-go move on the corner, and if that ball's out, it is an easy touchdown with no safety help at all, it would not appear. All right, if you're on hold, stay there, 301-230-0980. If you want to jump in, jump in. Your thoughts on the 21-18 win yesterday against the Giants. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And September is a great month to buy windows from Window Nation. They've got amazing savings right now. If you've been thinking about new windows, now is the perfect time. Window Nation leads the industry with an impressive 96% customer satisfaction rating. That means when you choose them, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old drafty windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. It gets even better. Window Nation offers unbeatable lifetime warranties. That's their promise that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of an exclusive offer. Buy two, get two free. Plus, you can get started with zero money down, zero interest, and no payments for 2 full years. And when you call Window Nation and mention my name, you get a free estimate, so you've got nothing to lose. That's really all I'm asking you to do. If you are thinking about new windows, just give Window Nation a chance to give you a free, no obligation, no pressure estimate. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Good day for the Commanders yesterday. They get their first win of the season, 21-18 over the Giants. A career day for Brian Robinson, who had 133 yards rushing on 17 carries. Austin Siebert set a franchise record with 7 field goals made in the game. He accounted for all 21 points for the Commanders. Just up 95, bad day for the Ravens. They lose to the Raiders 26-23. They fall to 0-2 on the season. And Sunday Night Football, C.J. Stroud overpowers Chicago 19-13, a rough night for Caleb Williams. 2 interceptions, sacked 7 times. There were punches thrown on their sideline at one point, although that was a Houston Texans player that was punching up some Chicago Bears, but still not a great night for Chicago. They're 0-2. And in the game of the week in the late window, it was the Chiefs and the Bengals. Harrison Butker put the Chiefs over the Bengals 26-25 in a thriller between the two AFC powerhouses. And that's what's trending.
Coach, is there anything in particular to take out of the fact that Jaden, through 2 games as a rookie, has no interceptions?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think he has a real conscience for the ball and security for it. That was one of the things that made him so unique coming out of college. You know, that many touchdowns for that many interceptions. And so he has a real mindset about it. It's a really important thing for us, taking care of the ball. And so that was a real factor today in the turnover battle.
Dan Quinn answering a question from my good friend Tom Lavero yesterday after the game. Washington is 1-1. They are 7-point underdogs next Monday night in Cincinnati against the 0-2 Bengals. Let's get through some of your calls. Ben's going to join us at 12. Kai from D.C. has been on hold for a while. Go ahead, Kai.
Yes, Ken. Thank you for taking my call. And before you got off, yes, I seen the same thing on that 3rd and 6 on that devil move to Noah Brown. And I want to say that I like Noah Brown. He played awesome. And then, two, I don't want to say I like it, but I think he kind of needed when Jaden Daniels got hit and he got the wind knocked out of him. It's like it kind of woke him and Cliff up, like we got to go down the field. And I seen, like, after that hit, he started going down the field more, and I really loved that. So, and then on the defense, what I didn't like how Jonathan Allen, like, out D-tackles. Like, it's like they pass rushing moves on the run, and it's like they're giving up their gaps, and it's allowing big runs.
That's true.
Yeah, I just hope, like, they can just stay in their contain, like, stay in their gap. Like, they're giving up the big runs. And then second, I want to say that it's like 2-1. I think we should move Kwon down to corner. We have enough safety. It's like he's not really good in space. And then Mike Davis is really slow. So I really think we need to move Kwon down. And then Joe Witt, he likes to play a lot of man-to-man on third down.
Yeah,
I don't really like that. And they're running a lot of drag routes on that. And it's like he's not running zone. And then he likes to run a lot of man in the goal line. Like, I don't understand that. Why we not zoning up? Jaden Daniels couldn't get a pass thrown in the goal line because the Giants, they were zoning up every time when we got in the goal line. So I don't understand that. And we need more pressure. We don't have the guy that's D-line like Michael Parsons in them to generate a four-man pressure. So sometimes I think we need to send more pressure. And the last thing, get Bobby Wagner or get a safety on the field on third downs and passing situations. That's it. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no, good call. And, you know, I'm just looking back at this Noah Brown play. I think the progression was for him to look at Noah Brown on the stop and go on the double move, but then come back to something else. And I'm not going to be able to see it until I see the all 22. But it didn't matter. There was quick pressure, but there's no doubt if the read was Brown because he was singled up, that ball could have been out on time into the end zone for an easy touchdown. Brown ran a great route. Let's go to Mike in Upper Marlboro. Mike, go ahead.
A couple of my quick observations was that I noticed that we have probably a new punt returner because he provided a spark.
Well, Crowder was out. Crowder was inactive. I don't know why, but Zacchaeus was back there because Crowder was inactive for the game.
Yeah, he provided a noticeable spark. I mean, because that one
was a really good punt return. A super long punt. Sometimes that gives you a chance for a better return. No doubt, he outkicked his coverage,
and of course, everybody's going to say our running game was the great point of the game. But my concern is this was back even in the Joe Gibbs point too. We always tend to play 6 to 8 yards off wide receivers, even on third and short, even when Fred Smoot was there. But at least then he could tackle. These guys now, they are missing everything. It was so bad that I was wishing that we had Forrest back there playing because at least he would have made the tackle. But these guys are just getting they were just whiffing like almost like a kiddie game.
Yeah, the run stopping in particular was awful. The tackling again, coverage, it seemed like communication issues, especially in passing off some of the picks in their man coverage. I don't know what's going on through two games. Last week, at least, you had good first down defense and you had some pass rush pressure. This week, they were off balance. I mean, against the Giants, that's not a good sign here early in the season. Let's go to Ralphie. He's been on hold for a while. Ralphie, thanks. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. I liked how Jaden stayed in the pocket for the second half and threw passes the skeptics thought he can make. I also liked how Jaden is the main reason why B-Rob and Eckler are off to a great start rushing the ball because, I mean, last year B-Rob had 17 carries. In the first game against the Giants, and yesterday he had 17 carries as well, and it's a night and day difference. So that tells me that the teams have to respect Jaden's arm and most importantly his speed. Quickly, to things I didn't like, I don't like all the false starts on the O-line because Jaden's cadence is not hard to get down. It's 180 set hut the majority of the time, and there's a video out there showing that online, so I'm not really sure what's going on. And lastly, I don't like seeing the amount of screens called to the wrong receivers. If you're gonna throw screens to receivers, it needs to be to De'Ami Brown or Jameson Crowder because those are the only guys catching. Those are the only guys that are elusive. So screens are not Terry's game. So I don't have a problem with the screens, but at the same time, you got to run it to the right receivers. You got to run it to elusive receivers. So thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have a lot of options there. Okay, if you don't think Terry's elusive and Terry's good as a runner after the catch, you know, I think Zaccheaus, you know, is good. I think actually Crowder is good in that spot. But we're still trying to figure it out with this offense and who will emerge. I think Noah Brown showed yesterday he can run some routes and create some real separation as a route runner. So that is encouraging for sure. Let's get Sean and DC in here to finish it up. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, two comments. One, I just want to say something about what Ian had to say and Jalen's nonchalantness. Like, we've all been subjected to somewhat voluntarily to Ian over the years, and that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Imagine watching Jaden yesterday and being upset at him chewing on his mouth guard. Ian's got to stick to analyzing Big Ten mixed doubles tennis, I think. Then point number two, I think your point about Malik Nabers that you initially started with, we already have ourselves a number two receiver, and that's Terry McLaurin. If we're gonna rush for 225 yards, we're gonna be in a lot of football games. We have a number two receiver; it's Terry McLaurin. We need to get ourselves a Malik Nabers.
Well, everybody would like to have a Malik Nabers, but yeah, when you watch the rest of the league, you realize what elite really looks like. And I don't think that that's what we have. We have a very good receiver, and he is a number one receiver. There's just so many great receivers. Now, real quickly, the mixed doubles analysis was a good one for sure. But I do know what he's talking about. There is a casual way in which Jaden plays, but I think it's completely it doesn't hurt him. You know, he's not loose or careless with the football. Look, at times at LSU, he took some hits that he probably shouldn't have taken, but I thought that it was more about a competitiveness and a desperation, really, because they had such a terrible defense, which, by the way, Denton, they have again this year. Stylistically, he looks super cool, super casual, but there is a competitive fierceness, I think, that way sort of belies that exterior inside. That's what I would say. So I'm with you. All right, Ben Standing next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.